This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network's studio here in Clearwater, Florida, where it's usually gorgeous, but right now we're having a little bit of a tropical storm. But it's still the perfect place to read a good book and a perfect place for writers. So I'm so happy to have you all on the listening today. And if you're here in the rain, just stay inside and be safe. This half hour is sponsored by Larson & Larson. They are my intellectual property lawyers, and they should be yours. I was so happy 2 weeks ago I had Bill Larson, my legal eagle, here in the studio to answer your questions. And if you want a free consultation, just contact Bill at 727-546-0660, and he will walk you through the process of how to get your copyright and then talk to you about what you need to know to protect your intellectual property. Well, I'm so excited today. I have a guest who's, it's her first book. I always love when an author has her first book. It's such an exciting time in her life. And hi, are you there, Liz?
I am. Can you hear me?
Okay, Liz. So I have Liz Kay on the phone, and her book just came out. It's called Monsters, A Love Story. But before I get to you, Liz, I just want to introduce, I have in the studio Karen Didson, and she's from Barnes & Noble, and she's going to be here talking later on about all the events at Barnes & Noble, and of course they carry your book. And so it must be real exciting for you today.
It is very exciting.
So let's hear a little bit about this book. You know, it's an unusual book.
It is. So Monsters is a love story, but it's a love story about pretty terrible people. So the main character, Stacy, is a recent widow, and she's still coming to terms with that. Her husband has died about 8 months prior to the start of the book, and she feels sort of just like she's drifting. She has two little boys, and she worries that she's not the best mother all of the time. And she's a poet, but she hasn't been writing since the death of her husband. She is the author of a novel in verse, a retelling of Frankenstein, and that has come to the attention of a very A-list actor who's decided to turn it into a movie, and that's how Tommy and Stacy are thrown together into their really fabulous but fairly toxic love affair.
Well, it is, you know, I want to first compliment you on the writing. It is so smooth, so solid. I was just really impressed. The minute I picked it up, you know, it is one of those books where it's seamless. And at first, when I started reading it, I thought, oh my goodness, it's not even like, it's not a novel. It's not a, like she's writing her life. And I got so scared for a minute there. I thought, oh my gosh, I hope your husband's okay. I hope everything's, you know, I had to go check. I really did. I had to go check that because it was like, she's writing her life. It wasn't like a novel. And it was, and I'm glad. I mean, I hope you're not like her. Then as we go further in the book, I'm thinking, oh, I hope this isn't her life, because, oh, wow. You know, it's a romance, but boy, it's hard hitting. It's,
It goes to some pretty dark places. It definitely, I'm definitely interested in critiquing aspects of the culture that we live in, and using Tommy and Stacy to do that.
Well, Stacy certainly is critical enough. she has ideas on just about everything, and she expresses them well. Not always verbally, thank goodness, because some of her her comments are very, very harsh.
Yes, yes. I think a lot of her snark, though, occurs inside her head.
Yes.
And since we have access to that, we hear it. But the way she presents herself is not quite as as dark.
Well, I found the whole premise. I think that's, you know, once one reads it and one starts to say that this premise of an author who's written a book, basically a poetry that Hollywood picks up and wants to make a movie out of. Now, having adapted several books for screenplays myself, I know the process. I know what happens when a screenwriter like me gets a hold of a book like yours and what we are able to do with it and how we can just take it and... Well, the things that a screenwriter can do to a book are quite amusing, and many of those are in your book.
Yes. I think it's interesting to have a character like Stacey, who's such a control freak in so many ways, start to lose control of her art. So that was really the starting point of the novel for me, was thinking about that connection between two artists who are coming from very, very different ends of the spectrum. Tommy is this very famous actor, and so he's aware of audience and being watched all the time. And poets, I don't know if you know this, but we don't tend to get a lot of attention. So,
no kidding.
So Stacey is just completely oblivious to audience expectations, and the idea that she might need to change her work to make it more palatable for an audience is really a challenge for her.
The only thing, as I'm reading this book, I'm thinking, okay, Stacey is having fun doing this. Just wait until Liz gets to Hollywood and they take your book apart. I'm wondering if you're going to have the same reaction.
I will just close my eyes and wait until it's over.
Yes, well, you know, I've talked to quite a few people. You know, when you go through that process of having a book taken and made into a movie, into a screenplay, it can be very painful for an author because they do things that you can't believe. Now, in Stacey's case, well, she has a great supporter in her love here.
Well, Tommy's such an advocate for her work and her vision, and that I think is a big part of their connection.
Well, where did you get this idea from? it just came to you one day?
Well, Tommy and Stacey did. Tommy and Stacey just sort of appeared in my head, fully formed, which is really how all of my characters come to me, though I've worked only in poetry before. But the idea of the adaptation at the center of the novel came out of my experience writing a novel in verse. The last thing that I had been working on was a retelling of Hansel and Gretel from the perspective of the witch. And from the very first few poems, when I would workshop them or share them or publish them, other writers and artists wanted to get their hands on her. People sent me poems that they had written in response to the witch. There were artists who wanted to draw her. Somebody wanted to make a short film. She was part of a page meets stage festival out of Eastern Washington University. And it was initially a little bit uncomfortable having other people, even having someone read my poem out loud. You know, they didn't get the inflection right. and that, if that was uncomfortable for me, I sort of imagined that scenario writ large in the context of a Hollywood movie and what that would be like. So that's really where that idea came from.
Well, now, of course, you talk in the book. Basically, Stacey has written the story about Frankenstein the monster is now a woman, a full-fledged woman. It's cute in the book how the one of the characters. The script writer thinks you've done it based on the movie. People don't sometimes realize that there was a book behind this Frankenstein story, you know. And of course, dealing in Hollywood where they don't tend to read the books. I was working on a book and adapting it for a group of producers, and they actually never read the book. They looked at the cover, and they knew the name of the author, and based on that, they never read the book. I mean, they never read the book, which I suppose was maybe good, but so it's going to be fun for you when you get to Hollywood, and I have a feeling that what's amazing is that it is. I mean, it's not amazing. I mean, you're a fine writer, and I love your poetry, but you're a great novelist now.
Oh well, thank you so much.
Well, I think that the way that you write, you have. I don't know how, if you had to do much rewriting, which probably came along, huh?
Well, I did do a few large scale revisions, but the reality is that I still write like a poet, which is line by line. So I revise as I go. So by the time I had a finished draft, it was clean.
That's good. That makes life easier.
It does, but it means that when your editor says, "Let's cut, 20 pages," they're 20 beautiful pages that you have to cut. It makes those cuts a little more painful, but really, it was a fun experience writing Monsters.
Well, when you're writing, and of course, one of the things, once you finished your book, it had to go to an editor. How did they? Well, you already had an agent. Did the same agent get you the book deal?
I actually did not have an agent when I wrote Monsters. I went the normal route of querying agents, and I ended up with a really fantastic agent, Susan Gollum, and she sold the book for me.
Wow, that's great. That's fantastic. That's always something that, the writers who listen to my program are always wondering how they go about it. And you, of course, you had a name for your poetry. But it's wonderful that you just got through a query letter.
Yeah, I did have a background in poetry, and I'm a small press publisher myself, publishing only poetry collections. But the world of poetry works very, very differently from the world of fiction. So it was a really steep learning curve for me to find out, really even what agents do. but I'm a quick learner, and when I decide I want to do something, I work very hard at it.
And the editing process. Now, when they got it to the publisher, was there discussion about? Now, as I said, it's the language is rather strong. It's not. It doesn't fall into sort of straight romantic fiction. It's more literature, I would think, than straight romantic fiction. What were the comments about the language? I mean, it's a very realistic language, and if anyone's been to Hollywood, it's very realistic, and I was just wondering, what was their reaction?
Oh, yes. My agent did ask me to tone down the language a little bit, and so, there's some profanity in the book, and we cut some of it, but there's still plenty left for fans of profanity. But yes, I wanted to be as realistic as possible, and I think that certainly the sort of language you would hear in Hollywood, and I think it's also the language that I hear in the literary community. We don't tend to use those words in poetry, but poets themselves speak that way constantly. So I did want to be really realistic.
Okay, well, listen, I need to take a quick little break, and when we come back, I want to talk to you more about not just the book, but also about your poetry, because I interviewed our poet laureate, and I have some ideas about poetry. So we'll be back in a few minutes, okay?
Great.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with my guests. I have Karen Ditson in the studio, and she's going to be talking to us about what's happening at Barnes & Noble this coming weekend. But first, I'm going to go back to my guest on the phone, Liz Kay, who's written a fantastic book called Monsters, A Love Story. And it's quite a special book. Liz, hi, are you there?
I am.
Okay, there was a line in the book, I think it was... talking about the character in your book has written a book called Monsters in the Afterlife.
Yes.
And one of the people comments that it's a feminist manifesto that'll make a great movie. And I was thinking, Okay, she wrote that. She knew that this book is Monsters is going to make a great movie, too. And I'm the only thing I'm wondering is if they'll let, you know, they don't normally let the authors do too much, but perhaps you can have a little input on who they pick for Tom. Tommy DeMarco is quite a hunky character in your book, an actor, famous actor who is actually intelligent and finds this book of poetry that he decides to adapt into a film.
Yeah, he's gorgeous and smart, so what a great mix.
Okay.
He's mean,
yeah. Oh, they're both mean.
They both are, yeah.
They're both really mean, and we're not always sure what's... The thing is, with your book, a good word to use is compelling, because once you start reading it, you do want to know... Well, first of all, at first you don't realize how mean they are, and then you start wondering, are they really that mean? And then you want to know, how mean can they get? Just like you sort of keep going. And it's not a light read. It's not one of the books I'd recommend taking to the beach for a sunny afternoon, which we don't have right now because we're in the middle of this tropical storm, Colin. But it is still, as I said, compelling and a book that when once you start it, I think it has a... you're funny. I mean... sometimes they're very cruel comments, but they are very funny. You have a good sense of humor.
Well, I knew that the book was going to be dark in a lot of ways, but I still wanted it to be fun. You know, you can deal with pretty serious themes, but still actually enjoy the process
yes.
of reading it was my hope.
Yeah, well, you did that. And as I said, of course, the poetry... the fact that you are a poet and a well-known poet and have been, you know, very successful with your poetry. But, of course, as you say in the book, poets don't sell a lot of books.
No, not at all.
I was so honored that They called me from the Library of Congress to interview Juan Felipe Herrera when he became the Poet Laureate.
Yeah.
And it was just thrilling for me because I had read his poetry many years ago, like 30 years ago. As a matter of fact, I saw him when I was very young. I saw him when he was still reading poetry on the street corners in San Francisco.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it was such an honor to talk to him. But as you know, poets don't make a lot of money. They don't sell a lot of books, but it is so wonderful, and I do enjoy. I recently had a young poet on the program, a young girl. It was her first dipping her toe into writing, and she wrote a lovely little book of poetry. And I think it's a wonderful way for writers to start to start to examine themselves.
I think poetry is so important, and I wish we did have a broader audience for it in many ways. And maybe that sort of dream factored into, well, what would happen if a poet connected with someone with a lot of influence with the popular culture. I do wish more people read poetry and wrote poetry. I think it's fantastic that you're such an advocate for it as well.
Well, I would like people to go to your website. Your poems, what sometimes people, you know, if people are not aware of poetry, how in they are so can be so simple about everyday subjects, about a child, about just a simple thing, and it is all encompassing of sort of the feeling of humanity within the poems.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is your website? Because I want people to go to your website and read some of your poems.
Oh, thank you. My website is lizk.net.
Lizk.net. And that's always because you didn't do lizk.com earlier. Which I
exactly.
I tell everybody. I said, okay, so you're dreaming of writing. Just register the website now, because you don't know. Of course, with a Liz K, that was must have gone early, but
that went very
very early. But it is important, and it just helps, you know, to bring the bring people to you. Now, we were talking about the process of getting to a publisher. You got a publisher and worked with the editor, and mm-hmm. So how's it going now? What are your plans with the book? Are you on a book tour?
I am. Yes, I'm doing. I'm starting in Utah, and then I will go back to my hometown of Omaha, and then off to California and D.C. And I think we have something in Des Moines in July. So pretty exciting.
Well, poets don't normally make book tours,
but we do. We just pay for them ourselves.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it will be fun for you to be able to get out there and meet the people who, your readers. And I know that readers always enjoy that. So again, they can, I think, look on your website for that too.
Absolutely, the event listings are there.
So it's lizk.net, mm-hmm. and it's a wonderful opportunity, I think, for you to also get to see what your fans are looking for, because you're going to have fans, and there's going to be another book and another book, and as I said, I'm sure there's going to be a film. So I just want to thank you so much for being on today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You know, it's really important that writers get out there and meet the public and, you know, just build your fan base.
It is.
And as I said, I know that it's going to be a film. And
well, I hope you're right.
Oh, I'm right. And I'm always right about these things. I can as a screenwriter, you know, I look at a book and I can say, okay, yes, that's going to make a good movie. And
it would be a good movie, and it'd be so meta, a movie about a book that's about making a movie about a book.
Exactly. So did you, now, of course, this is a feminist manifesto.
It is a pretty feminist manifesto.
I mean, it really is. And I assume that's a big part of your life.
It is, yes.
And by the way, how did your husband relate to this book?
Well, my husband did not read it until last month. He wanted to wait until he could get his hands on the hardcover. I think he was a little afraid going into it. He's been watching his back,
okay.
knowing that the husband dies. But he loved it. He loved it. He could see a lot of himself in the different characters, and he enjoyed it a lot.
Well, I think you've done a terrific job, and I'm just so pleased that I got to speak to you just when the book comes out, because it's always an exciting time in an author's life.
It is so exciting, yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Well,
it's been great.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
And we're just going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back with Karen Ditson, and we're going to talk about Barnes & Noble and all the good things they have there.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Larson & Larson is a proud sponsor of Joy on Paper. Our law firm has the experience and knowledge to help you protect your valuable intellectual property, from trademark, copyright, and patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida are here to advise you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com. That's Larson & Larson, your intellectual property attorneys.
Charles Ruttenberg Realty proudly sponsors Joy on Paper with Patsy Gill. Charles Ruttenberg sets the standard of excellence with residential and commercial real estate transactions and can help you on your next transaction, whether that is for a second home, investment, or downsizing. Call us today at 727-538-9200 extension 2 and allow me to help you. I'm John Rakowski, the broker at Charles Ruttenberg Realty.
Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back, and I'm going to be talking in a few minutes to my guest, Karen Ditson from Barnes & Noble. But first, I want to mention I have a new webpage up, and I would like everyone to go and see it. It's radio-joyonpaper.com. You can see all of the great authors I've interviewed, also a list of the publicists and literary agents, and there's an archive so you can listen to their interviews. And for writers, it's a wonderful opportunity to get to know the literary agents and to hear about what they're looking for. And I also have on my webpage a new page. It's called the Book Club. It's called Jumping for Joy Book Club. And one of the things I want to do is reach out to readers and to get readers involved in the program, and I'm hoping to bring some readers into the studio to talk about the books they like and books that I suggest to that they read, and then have them come in and talk to me about what they thought about the books. So if you're interested in that, please just go to my website, radio-joyonpaper, and you can sign up for the book club, and I will be happy also to send out I get a lot of free books from the publishers, and I would be happy to send you a book if you tell me what kind of book you like. And then we will get together and talk about books. And that's why I am so happy that I have Karen Didson here. And she's from Barnes & Noble. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Okay, great. And what are you? You're the community...
Community Business Development Manager.
Okay. Well, there are so many exciting things happening at Barnes & Noble. And we have the wonderful store here in Clearwater and also down in St. Petersburg. Just fantastic. And are we talking about the events at Clearwater today?
Yes. Well, these events are actually national. They're in every single Barnes & Noble across the country on the same date, the same time, the same activities. Different local authors we're going to be having this weekend for our first ever BeFest Teen Book Festival.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it starts out on Friday night and at 7 o'clock, and we're going to start out with trivia, and this is for the teens. So we have so many giveaways. We have a trivia blast created by Penguin Teen and Random House's First Line. We're going to have winners, raffles. So there's three components of it: be in the know, be first, be part of the fun, actually four, and then be creative on Sunday. And so the trivia is be in the know. What I'd like to talk about, jumping ahead, just to tag on to our last, the author of the Monsters love story book is, she wrote about screenwriting and screenplays. We are having a writing workshop as part of Be Creative at 2 o'clock on Sunday. And what it is, the idea is, it's a workbook where the kids are going to learn how to write a log line, create a spark page, and reimagine popular characters. So they're going to take characters from books, and then they're going to rewrite it. So it's interesting, and they have to, there's also a little exercise to get them in the mood where actually they do a matching of what line came from what book, and you really have to think, and it's all their popular ones, one was The Great Gatsby. I was happy that I knew a lot of the answers, because sometimes I don't. But that should be very, very exciting. And the idea came from looking at old screenplays that weren't polished, weren't clean, weren't made into movies, taking kind of the good parts of it, reworking it, maybe using the same characters, turning it into a book, and then taking the book and turning it into a good movie.
Wow, that's a great concept.
Yeah. So that, I think that's going to be very popular. We also have, going back to Friday now, we also have local authors coming. So Friday night, I have a young woman. Her name is J.L. Ford, and she wrote her debut novel. It's a YA book called In the Shadow of the Dragon King. And it's interesting. Her timing was perfect. She emailed me a query and just said, I'd love to come. And, you know, we have many local authors come at different parts of the year. I set up tables. We get the books in. And hopefully they bring an audience with them. But she said, I just wrote my first YA book. Could I come? And I was like, yes. How about for BeFest? And you will be my opening. And she's very excited. And it's a fantasy adventure book. I just got it in today. Thank you, God. It's here. And so I haven't read it, but it just published about a week ago, May 31st. So it's brand new.
Well, how exciting for her. And yeah. What's her name again?
Her name is J.L. Ford. That is her pen name.
Okay, J.L. Ford. And she's going to be there?
She will be there 7 o'clock on Friday. And, you know, if I get a nice crowd, I'd love my authors to actually do a talk. Like I said to her, be prepared to talk about what it's like to be a fantasy adventure writer and where did you come up with this idea? Oftentimes at these events, though, it's more of a one-on-one where people can just walk up to her table and ask questions, and she'll talk to them one-on-one. But if everybody comes at 7:30, I will put out chairs and we will have a nice, talk.
Well, that would be great, because it's so good for authors to get to meet the readers. As I know that now Liz Kay is going to have that experience of going out there and And one of the nice things about it is when you do this type of event for an author, and nowadays with everybody liking to do selfies, it's a great way to promote your book.
Oh, absolutely.
Because when people take a selfie, they always send it on to some, at least three other people, or if not 10 other people, who then pass it on. So it's a great way to reach out to fans and to get new fans.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And then on Saturday is we're going to have Be First. So at 11 o'clock, I am going to have a table filled with sneak peeks of all popular books that are coming out. So these are chapter samples. These books have not been published yet. So James Dashner has a prequel coming out to The Maze Runner. New stories from Miss Peregrine's Peculiar Children by Ransom Riggs. Veronica Ross.
Oh, I'm trying to get Ransom Riggs on the show.
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful.
Talking to his publicist to get him on.
Oh, okay. So I have those samples in my office now. My office is filled with giveaways, tote bags, T-shirts. I have so many wonderful things and these chapter samples. So this is at 11 o'clock. 2 o'clock, we are going to have a spelling showdown, games, activities featuring these popular teen series. And I'm also going to have two more local authors. One is Bob Aivo. He wrote a book. These two books are not particularly like teen fiction, but I think teens would be interested in them. That's why I invited the authors to come. So Bob's book is called The Other Brooklyn, and it takes place in Brooklyn, New York City, and it's a crime, mob, mafia kind of story. But you were talking about the language with Liz Kay. Bob informed me before I even invited him, he came to one of our other local author events and he said, "Oh, my book has clean language. I made sure there is no swearing." He just felt that was an important, that you don't need to tell a crime kind of story with these kind of tough characters. He just didn't want to do it. So,
well, there's a lot of discussion now about what to do about bad language, because there are a lot of people just will not read a book with mm-hmm. bad language. And, you know, in some cases, like in Liz Kay's case, she's writing a book about Hollywood. So
yeah.
It's really difficult to stay away from bad language when you're writing a book about Hollywood.
Right.
But it's good to know that he thought about that and
right.
And you know that up front.
Yeah. So that's why I thought, you know, he would be safe, you know, to come for my teens.
Yeah.
But still tell the crime story about a young man living in this neighborhood. And it's kind of a growing up story. My other author on Saturday at, and this is between 1 and 3 o'clock, is Scott Lynn. So he's a broadcaster, TV and radio broadcaster. He wrote a book called Sports Idols. So what that means is these sports icons, who were their heroes growing up? Who were their idols? And he did tremendous research. And again, he would love to chat with people about that. He had several interesting topics. He said, I could talk to them about the research I did. I could talk about the ever-changing media landscape. He's really interested in talking to young people. So I think that'll be great.
Well, I think I have to come in. If he's doing sports legends, if he has baseball in there, I have to.
It's a thick book. You know, nonfiction. It looks like he did his great research. He's coming back on Sunday too, because he, you know, he said, "Can I come again?" I said, "Sure." So on Sunday, our schedule is 2 o'clock. We're having the adaptive workshop, the writing workshop, and then we're also having Scott will be there at a table with, you know, to talk to people. We're also having at 2 o'clock a wonderful woman. Her name is Dr. Jamie Kulaga. She came to one of our other local author events. I had one at Valentine's Day for a couple of books that were related to relationships and self-improvement, self-growth. Her book is called, and she's a local professor in the area, her book is called Superwoman's Guide to Super Fulfillment, Step-by-Step Strategies to Create Work-Life Balance. How's that for a mouthful?
That is.
Yeah. And she's just a dynamic young mom, young professional. And she said for the teens, she would love to talk and offer tips on building self-confidence. And her book is just, it's a quick read kind of book about just what her title says, how to feel fulfilled, but also do that work-life balance, which I think is a struggle for people of my age and also for my young daughters who are starting out in the workplace.
Wow, that sounds interesting. I have to get her on the program.
She'd be great. Fantastic. She'd be great.
Yeah, everybody needs to hear. We all need balance, that's for sure.
I know. So that's our B-Fest, and shortly following that, we have Harry Potter coming up.
Oh, my goodness. What's happening with the Harry Potter event?
June 24th, we start our excitement, building our excitement for Harry Potter, and the magic happens again. So we're going to have a party 7 o'clock on June 24th, and that's all leading up to our midnight release party July 30th to 31st. When the new book comes out, which is a screenplay, but it's Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. It's the characters, though, the same characters.
Well, many, many times, every time a Harry Potter book came out, my husband did the midnight the midnight event with our boys, and he was there, and he loved it. It was so much fun. It was always so much fun for him, and Barnes & Noble does such a fantastic job.
Yeah.
So the first event is going to be on
June 24th. That's 7. Yeah.
And that's going to be
we're going to have activities. Actually, we're going to have 3 different stations. We're going to have a muggle wall where you can write things about.
Everybody like that.
Yeah, here it is. The muggles, and we are going to have a drawing of color your own owl post. We're also going to have 3D Hogwarts Astronomer's Tower puzzle that you can contribute to. Trivia, of course, trivia. I have this huge trivia of all the Harry Potter books. So it's exciting. It's going to be great. And that's just the first night. And then, of course, the midnight release will have much more going on. And the following day, July 31st, is going to be like an all-day event again.
Okay. Well, I hope my goddaughter comes to that one. She's a Harry Potter fanatic. And I think she will beat all the trivia questions because she knows everything. She's quite amazing about Harry Potter. And the wonderful thing, of course, about Harry Potter is that it did bring so many young people to reading.
Oh, absolutely. I have a great story. I actually got J.K. Rowling's autograph for the very first book. I stood in line with my daughter way back when at a Barnes & Noble. It was in Westport, Connecticut, where I grew up. And the moms and I were in line, and it went around the building, and we were fairly in the front of the line. We just said, wow, this is like waiting for concert tickets, what kids used to do. And here were these, I think my daughter was 9. I had 2 daughters with me, 9 and maybe 7. And we got up there, and we circled all throughout the store. You know, the line snaked around. We got her autograph, and I wanted her to look up because she was signing so fast. Thousands of people were there. So I said, how do you spell the girl? I mean, how do you pronounce the girl's name? I just wanted her to look up, and I didn't know. And she said, Hermione. And I said, oh, and thank you so much for coming. And she said, oh, no problem. You know, so we had this little moment.
Oh, wow. You had a conversation.
I know. And I have the autograph. And my manager, I told that to at Barnes & Noble Clearwater, and she was dying. And she said, it just meant, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I said, gosh, if it means that much to you, you could have it. She said, no, you got to save that for your children's children.
That's something special.
I know.
Absolutely. Oh, that's fantastic. That's a nice story.
I know.
Yeah. Well, so you have this event coming up. This is really you've been with Barnes & Noble for quite a few years.
2 years, yeah, uh-huh. But only since September at the Clearwater uh-huh. store. I transferred down here for this store to be here in Florida. I transferred from the Milford, Connecticut store, uh-huh. Barnes & Noble.
Well, that's a good transfer. I hope you like it down here.
I love it. I love the warm weather, and I love this store. It's wonderful.
It is a wonderful store, a great store, and I just like to encourage people to just, you know, bring their children to the store.
Oh,
because
absolutely.
It's a way to start them. Now, I had no problem with my children. I mean, they were reading from, well, being a reader, I just was always in a bookstore.
Right.
I can't think of a time in my life when I didn't spend at least one day a week in a bookstore, looking around, just, you know, finding something. And so my boys were also great readers. And
well, we have story times for young kids, preschoolers, every Tuesday at 10:30 and every Saturday at 11. And coming up, we have a bunch of events called Get Pop Cultured. This will be our third summer doing it. We start off on July 8th with Finding Dory, because of course the movie's coming out. And I'm not going to go through all the dates because we have about 15 events, but please go to our calendar. But I will tell you, we have manga coming up, DC Comics to go with the comic convention. We have collectibles, but everybody loves the superheroes. So we have a DC Comics Day and a Marvel Heroes Day. And, you know, a lot of it is to get people into the store, to get the kids in. And then once they're there, you know, read a graphic. I never cared what my kids read. My oldest daughter was reading adult. I don't even want to mention the name. Well, she read this. This was a great book, of course, Diary of Anne Frank. She read when she was like in third grade, and she didn't really understand parts. She didn't understand the magnitude of it, but she wanted to read it. On some level, she connected with Anne Frank. So, you know,
that's a wonderful thing about it. If you can start your children young and get them reading, it's so important for their development. It just makes an enormous difference. And if they can read, because unfortunately they're finding kids in college who can't read, which mm-hmm. is mind-boggling to think about it.
Right.
But if parents are really taking a strong involvement in their children's development, they will take them to a bookstore, and Barnes & Noble is simply the best. That's for sure.
Thank you. Yeah. It is.
Well, and I, of course, I love Barnes & Noble. I have on my website, I have a link to the Nook Glow Light, which I love. So it's, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to, I love real books, but also I love to have that late at night. It's a wonderful thing too.
That's exactly when I use it. I love the Nook at night when I'm in bed. The lights are off and I'm not bothering anybody in the room.
Exactly. That's the perfect thing to do. And of course, Barnes & Noble has such a lovely atmosphere. The ambience is so relaxing and so just. I think anyone who goes into the store, really afterwards, you feel really good. You've done something, and you know, in this busy and sort of hectic world, it's wonderful to take that little bit of time to just be around books and to roam the aisles. And you never know what you pick up. I mean, it's amazing. Sometimes I've been in a bookstore where I'm not looking for anything particular, but then something just catches your eye. And it just happens to be the book that you needed at that point in your life.
Exactly, exactly.
So I think it's just wonderful that you're here. And of course, you have a background yourself in writing.
I do. I wrote for, I did public relations, and I also wrote feature stories for local newspapers. So I love my job here at Barnes & Noble is to work with the schools and to work with local organizations and businesses. I love working with the schools and the kids, though. We've had field trips come in, and you were just mentioning about the connection with reading and parents and children who don't maybe like to read. up in Connecticut, and I hope to do this more here in Clearwater, we had a teacher come in with remedial class, remedial readers, and this was the end of their year, and we gave them a field trip, and we divided it in half. So some were touring the store, and some were getting a book talk about all the books coming out. At that point, I believe it was like Hunger Games, Divergent, those kind of books. And John Green books. I can't think of the name now. The one that was made into the movie. But anyway, John Green books. And these were kids, though, who were reading like eighth graders at fourth grade level, fifth grade. But they got so excited about being in the bookstore, being, you know, we were talking about jobs as we were giving them the field trip around the store, talking about book selling jobs and publisher and editing and you could do this. Anyway, they had money to buy. She had a grant, this teacher. So each child had $20 to spend.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And they were so excited for their shopping. And they were coming up to me with, you know, different books saying, could I get these too? Can I afford it? And and we gave them the discount, which we give to institutions that have accounts with us and corporations and nonprofits. So anyway, they got on the bus. They were so excited. They said thank you to me unsolicited, and the teachers were overwhelmed that here were these kids, like I said, reading children, you know, in the children's department. Now they're picking out, oh, I want to read Hunger Games. I want to read this.
Well, that's fantastic. And Barnes & Noble does a great job, and you do a great job. And I hope you'll come back in July and you can talk to us more about your other
events
and more about the Harry Potter, because we know everybody's going to be so excited about it. So.
Yes, and we hope everybody will come. So come, please, to B-Fest. Bring your friends and family.
Okay, well, that's Karen Didson, and I'm just so happy that you came in today.
Thank you.
And we're going to, I just want to go over a few things before the end of the show. I have on Thursday a fantastic woman writer, Martha Alderson, who is going to be talking about her, what does she do? Well, she's called The Plot Whisperer, and she wrote a book called The Plot Whisperer, but she does so much more than that. She is an advisor to authors. Some of the best-selling authors in the world have worked with her, and she is just so much fun to listen to, and she has all sorts of ideas on how not just to develop plots, but how to also promote your work. And so for authors, it's a wonderful opportunity to listen to The Plot Whisperer, and that's going to be on Thursday. And meanwhile, tonight is karaoke night at the Miami Avenue Wine Bar, so if you need to get out and have some fun, I suggest you go to the Miami Avenue Wine Bar. They are located in Indian Rocks Beach, just beyond the post office, and it's lots of fun. Do you like karaoke, Karen?
I do.
Well, I bet you can sing up a hoot, so you have to try it too. It's a wonderful place to go, and I encourage everyone to get out there. It looks like the sun is shining out here. The storm has passed us, and so everybody will be anxious to get out to the beach area so that people get tired of being in the house after 2 days. So look forward to Thursday, and just have a wonderful few days until we get back together again. Bye.